Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. I hope you are having a great week. It's Friday. It is the wrapping up of a really special week that we've had together, going back through some readings that we had a couple weeks ago. And as I've said really every day so far this week, if you've been listening, you know, I was really just blown out of the water by these readings that the church gives us. The readings that the church gives us the week after Easter. Obviously, the Easter readings are beautiful and amazing. You really can't beat Jesus rising from the dead and the stone being rolled away, all that kind of stuff. But we see something really, really interesting. And we talked about this on the first day. We're going to talk about it in the last. And I want to encourage you, go listen to the whole week because I think it really builds on each other, because we start in Acts 2 and we finish in Acts chapter 4. This is where our last reading is from. So the church in a week covers, Monday through Friday, covers two whole chapters in Acts. And I find it really curious because Easter happens. We have all the Easter readings, and Easter Sunday, you know, is the stone being rolled away, all that kind of stuff. And then the Monday after, it's Pentecost. It's not actually the Feast of Pentecost, but it's the readings of Pentecost. And so you're like, why? And as we've talked about, again, the church, friends, is instructing us. She's showing us. She's instructing us how the resurrected church lives. And I just continue to be so incredibly convicted by this. So we've been on a journey as we've gone through these readings in Acts. We started with Peter preaching. He's proclaiming God's word so powerfully. And then through that proclamation, we see 3,000 are added. They're cut to the heart. They say, Peter, what should we do? Then he and John are just going to their normal prayer time, 3 o'clock, and they heal a man. God heals a man through them. And then they begin to explain that they use that as a way to proclaim God's word and as a way to draw people into faith. And so we've been learning, we've been seeing that the church is showing us the resurrected life is powerful. It's one of power. It says the kingdom of God is not one of talk, but of power. What are the fruits of the spirit? What are the fruits of the resurrection? The signs of resurrected life, power, fruitfulness. The church is multiplying. 3,000 are added. People encounter Peter and John and they're changed. Healing. People are healed. They encounter the people that Jesus touched. They encounter the followers of Jesus and they go away changed. And because of their encounter, people are amazed and astonished. Confidence in the proclamation of the gospel. These are all fruits of the resurrection. And so go in and meditate today. Meditate on your own life. On your own life in your parish, on your own Catholic life? Is it just kind of private and to yourself? Is it just something that you just do your devotions and kind of keep it to yourself? Or has God changed you? Are you living in the resurrection power, friends? Are you living this new life in Christ? That the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So let's say a quick prayer and let's get to this another amazing, amazing reading. We can't even get through everything we need to say this week. Go back and read these passages because they're fantastic. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, quick prayer here because we want to get to your word. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds. We love you. We worship you. We praise you. You are everything. Your death and resurrection is the center of our lives. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Again, we're going to read it all and then we're going to break it down. After the crippled man had been cured, while Peter and John were still speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees confronted them, disturbed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They laid hands on Peter and John and put them in custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word came to believe, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. On the next day, their leaders, elders, and scribes were assembled in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly class. They brought them into their presence and questioned them, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered them, "Leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means he was saved, that all of you and all of the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. The word of the Lord. It's a powerful, powerful reading. Again, we see Peter absolutely just preaching his face off in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will get to that. But I want to get to this first part. After the crippled man had been cured, a fruit of the resurrection, a sign of resurrected life, healing. Peter and John are speaking to the people. Remember, they're in Solomon's portico. They're speaking to the people, and the temple guard and the priests, those who crucified Jesus, those who arrested Jesus, they come into that same place and they laid hands on Peter and John. So it's not like they were just like, hey, breaking it up. This is a disturbance of the peace. Can you guys go home? Peter and John are preaching and they lay hands on them. They seize them and they take them away. They put them in custody. And it's not just like they're like, hey, can you just like get back inside? Custody means they put them in jail. Peter and John, they're preaching. They just healed a man. They did a good deed. This man, he couldn't walk and now he can walk. And what happens? They begin to preach the name of Jesus and they get arrested. And I love this. But many of those who heard the word came to believe. And the number of men grew to about 5,000. So we see signs of resurrected life, fruitfulness, healing, power. Another sign of resurrected life, friends, that we don't really like is persecution. We see it through all of Acts. And I'm talking real persecution. I'm not talking about like someone on Facebook disagrees with you. I'm not trying to like downplay that. But I think a lot of times we're like, oh, I'm being persecuted, when sometimes we might just be being rude, or it might just be being forceful in a way. I'm talking about when we really preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we say the name of Jesus and people withdraw from relationship because of it. We lose out on honor because of it. We're pushed to the outskirts of society. And we've tasted it a little bit in America, just a little bit. We've tasted it, but they tasted it overseas where there are martyrs and this depth of persecution in Iran and Iraq and all of these places, particularly in the Middle East and different places of Nigeria where priests are kidnapped and they're really faced with martyrdom. This persecution we see in the Church of Acts proclaiming who Jesus is leads to fruitfulness and to persecution. That even later on, people come after Paul. Paul's in prison so much, but we see this first with Peter and John. They proclaim the name of Jesus, and because they proclaim the name of Jesus, they're taken into custody. But even though they're taken into custody, we think persecution is bad, friends. We need to be convinced that when we're really undergoing real persecution that God is allowing us to undergo, it will produce fruitfulness. So persecution that's fruitful is a sign of resurrected life. Is everyone always agreeing with us all the time? Do we always feel comfortable? Do we always feel popular? This is a gut check for us. It might be because we're not preaching and living the fullness of the gospel, because we should be clashing with the culture. And even though they're persecuted, they get arrested. They're dragged out in the middle of their preaching. And it says up to 5,000 men came to faith. And now we know from the loaves and the fishes story that 5,000 men means probably about 15,000 people, because they're not including the women and children. And so when they say 5,000 men, in that they're meaning also the women and children as well. And so as Peter and John are being severely persecuted, massive numbers of people are following Jesus. There's a direct correlation between the persecution of the church and her growth. When the church is comfortable, when we are comfortable, friends, when we agree with the culture, the church does not grow. We are meant to be disruptive. Because the word of God confronts us, the word of God in us confronts others. So it says, the next day, all the high priestly class comes and they begin to question Peter and John. They say, by what power have you done this healing? And the thing is, they know. They know what they're going to say. They know that they're preaching Jesus. By what power have you done this? And here's the thing that I love about Peter and John. It says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, before he responds, he doesn't respond in the flesh. He doesn't respond in his fear. He doesn't say, okay, we're in jail, John, We just got to get out of here. We got to appease them. They're the worldly powers. We got to tell them we're not going to do it anymore. We got to appease them. We got to not talk about Jesus and we got to make some compromise now just so we can go and talk about Jesus later. We just got to get out of here. We got to focus on getting out of here. No, but that's a very like common response that we might have, right? That we might have in the worldly sense to be like, you know what? Like I just got to get out of this bad situation. I'm stressed. I got to figure out a human way. But Peter says no. In their spirits, Peter and John, they're saying, I will never stop proclaiming. So even in the face of danger, even in the face of death, even in the face of persecution, I'm going to keep going. I will never compromise. He says, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means he was saved, then all of you and all of the people of Israel should know. He's not saying like, hey, I want to suggest to you, or I don't know, what do you think about this? Like, take this under consideration. Hey, take this back. Let it sit with you. See how it feels with you. He's saying, you should know it was by the name of Jesus Christ. And by the way, the person, the power that healed this man, you crucified him. You killed him. You gave him up. You rejected him. But God raised him from the dead. Again, Peter is pointing back to the center of it all. Jesus Christ is risen, not just on Easter and when we repeat it back to the priest or whoever and say he is risen indeed. He is risen every single day. This is why we have new life. And Peter says, you killed him, but you raised him from the dead. And I just love this. So powerful, Peter quoting the scriptures. He is the stone rejected by you. They would have known this. The high priest would have known this passage. This is the passage from the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures. The stone rejected by you, the builders, has become the cornerstone. He's saying directly to their faces, you cast him off. You didn't honor him as Lord. You didn't serve him. You didn't walk with him. The one that you rejected, the Father said, this is the one. Jesus has become the cornerstone. And friends, this is the center. What I'm about to read right now, this is the center of it all. And we have to be so convicted of this. We have to live it. We have to preach it. We have to share it. We as a church have to be completely confident in this. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. There's only one. I think I've talked about this before. Jews, when they're looking for the Messiah, they ask the question, is he the one? They use that phrasing, the one. And Peter's saying here, he's proclaiming it. It's the teaching of the church. He is the only one. There is no other path. There's no accidental stumbling into the kingdom of heaven. What's on the line is eternity. And the only way to get there for me, for you, for your family, for those who are far off, for the atheists, for the Hindus, for the Jews, for the Buddhists, for the Muslims, every single person on the face of the earth, do not buy the lies of the enemy that are trying to water down the name of Jesus. He is the only one. I want to encourage you, friends, believe it, proclaim it, invite others to repent and believe, because we desire everyone to be saved. The Holy Spirit wants to empower you. Let him live in the resurrection power today. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.